What a pleasure it is to be here with you this morning. I was actually really excited when I realized this is Jeff and Angie Locke's church. Aren't they amazing people, by the way, Jeff and Angie? Give them an applause there. There we go. Yeah. Jeff and Angie, I mean, beautiful voice, Angie. Thank you for leading us in worship. And Jeff, if you ever seen him interacting with our students, it's quite remarkable because, you know, he's clearly a very manly man. I mean, just look at this guy. Big in stature, he's got the big beard, his cologne is like gasoline and diesel. Excellent mechanic. And yet he has such a soft heart for the guys. So underneath that tough, manly exterior, he has such a soft heart for the guys and to show the love of Jesus to the guys. And so it's a privilege and honor to work alongside both you guys. We love you, Jeff and Angie, love working with you. And so I was so excited to come here. Plus, I knew this is actually a fantastic church, because if they're willing to drive as far as they do from the city all the time, it's got to be something good here. And I got to say, I wasn't disappointed. The coffee, solid 8 out of 10. That was fantastic. Really enjoyed the coffee. Excellent greeter at the door. What was your name? Elizabeth? Great greeter, by the way. Whoever put Elizabeth by the door, fantastic. Good call on that. And I love the scripture reading. Love the hairstyle, my friend. I'm a little bit envious because I would love to grow locks like that. If I had long, luscious locks like that, that would be great. But I can't get past the awkward stage, so I see you don't mind being in that awkward stage. So that's great. All right, moving on. How many of you guys have heard of Teen Challenge? Yeah, a whole bunch of you guys. I know that you guys are supporters of ours. I want to share with you what our vision is at Adult Teen Challenge. We basically have three things that are encompassed in our vision. We want to see addiction end, we want to see new life begin, and we want to see freedom for all through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later on, but I have some slides I can share with you. If you have any questions about who we are, you can go to our website, teenchallenge.tc. It's right there on the bottom right of the screen. And you can also grab a brochure at the table. We have a table set up at the back, and a couple of our students will be there, and so if you have any questions, come see us at the table. You are probably familiar with our live-in program. In the past, it's been referred to as a long-term program or a year-long program. You know, different names, but essentially it's a live-in program where people, they come to a place where they surrender. And let me just take a few moments just to brag on our guys here. We've got Keith with us, we've got Devin and Dalen, although maybe he's in the bathroom right now. But anyway, these guys, not only do they look fantastic, they've got their dress shirts on, they're dressed for church, which is nice. So you guys look great, by the way. But I just love how honest and transparent they are. You know, they're not the type of people that play at church that, you know, come in and say, oh, everything's good, hallelujah, glory, everything's great. They're people who are so honest in a humble way to say, hey, I'm struggling, I need help, and I need significant help. So they have given up so much to come into the program. I mean, every morning they got to get up at stupid o'clock in the morning to do the program. It's really early. It's like 6 a.m. You guys are like, that's not that early. Well, I thought that was pretty early. But every morning they get up at 6 a.m. They work hard. They study hard. They are grown men, but they have to basically live in an environment where there's a lot of expectations on them. And there's people that, you know, control decisions, if you will. And obviously that's a good reason why we do that. But my point is the surrender that these guys do is huge. And so I wonder if we can just give a hand for these guys for being in the program. Love you guys. Glad you're here. And so our live-in campuses, we have 5 across central Canada. We did have 6. One of them is on pause right now as we look for a more suitable building. That's the Thunder Bay men's campus that's on pause. But we still impact people from the area because we can drive people to and from the different campuses. So we have room in every one of our campuses. So if you know someone that is struggling, or maybe you yourself are struggling, grab a brochure. We have room. We'd love to bring you in and help you. And you can see all the different things that we offer at the live-in campuses. My role, if you're wondering, my name is Pastor Danny McVeigh. I'm currently serving as the Chief Program Officer with Adult and Teen Challenge, which is a fancy title. What it means is I have this privilege to travel around and support our in-residence programs and then whatever else I'm needed to do. But I love working with our clients, both the men and the women in our different programs, and it's incredibly exciting to see the transformation that God does in their lives. We can go to the next slide there. We also have several community offices throughout central Canada. You might be unfamiliar with the community office. It's a newer model that we are doing. But there's all the different services that we offer. So if somebody wants some information about who we are, one of our programs, they can come to a local community office. That staff is fully trained. They can help them with different things that they're wrestling with. We have a small group curriculum for both men and for women and for concerned persons as well. So maybe you yourself are not wrestling with a life-controlling issue, but you know someone that is. Maybe your son or your daughter or your husband or your friend or your sister or your brother, whoever it may be. We have support groups, so you're not alone. We have people that are going through this same journey, and there's a lot of comfort in working with people and sharing life together as you journey together. So that happens in our community offices, and as you can see, there's multiple. We have a huge need for more. We have people reaching out and asking us if we can have a community office. So it's kind of the hub into the program and then the hub back out. So when somebody graduates from our program, we connect them to the community office, and they're able to help them with things like accountability and so on and so forth. So our community offices are very thriving, exciting places where we can be that first point of contact. You can go to the next slide there. Different ways to get involved. If you're wondering, how can we get involved in Teen Challenge? A huge way that's going to be a great support to us is monthly partnership. And so if you're not currently a monthly partner with Teen Challenge, I'd like to formally invite you to be a monthly partner with us. And you say, well, how much is that? Well, I'll let you take that up with the Lord. It can be as little or as much as you want. But grab a brochure on your way out, or you can, if you're pretty savvy with technology, you can take your phone and hold it up to that pixelated diagram in the bottom right. It's called a QR code, and it'll take you straight to the center on our website to give. And the reason monthly partnership is so great is, as you know, we're a non-for-profit, and so we have a huge amount of money coming and going. It takes a lot of money to do what we do every month. And so when we have monthly partnerships, people that say, hey, I want to be a part of what you are doing, that's really helpful for us to be able to accomplish our goals in helping people find freedom from addiction. So I want to encourage you to be involved if you're not. For those that are, thank you so much for giving and supporting and being a part of who we are. You'll get a letter every quarter, a bit of an update of what's happening. You'll get a picture of one of the students that you can pray for. And you can also volunteer and, of course, donate vehicles. And then Jeff will fix that vehicle and sell it for a big profit so he can help people with freedom and addiction. But he won't take BMWs, apparently. He's got some issue with those. I don't know why. They're the greatest car ever made. But moving on. And our super thrift stores. How many of you guys have been in one of our super thrift stores? Yeah, it'll be in Winnipeg, Wayne Claire, Brandon, Steinbeck. And so our super thrift stores, again, it's a great place where our clients can go and they can develop work skills. They can be productive. And then also it's a way to raise money for the organization as well. So I want to encourage you to check those out. And I think that's the last slide. If we go to the next one. There we go. That's the closing slide. And again, there's the QR code. So any questions, we'd love to answer those for you. What we're going to do today is we're going to hear from some of our guys here. They're going to come and share their testimony. Before that, we have a very brief video we'd like to show you. So take a look up at your screens for the video, and then we're going to hear from Keith. Thank you.
My name is Tessa Desharm. I'm 23 years old. I was born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba, in a home filled with addiction and violence. In my late teen years, I lost both my brother and father to drug overdoses. This left me feeling like an abandoned orphan. To cope with my grief, I used drugs and alcohol. This never actually helped. In November of 2019, I walked into the doors of Adult and Teen Challenge. I knew that there was something different about this place. I felt very loved and accepted immediately. That encouraged me to be who God designed me to be, which is free from bondage and just to live a life filled with joy. I now have hope, I have self-worth, and I've taken on a new role in the Thunder Bay Women's Home as a beauty staff, where I get to speak life and hope into other women who don't have anybody to support them. For those who are struggling with active addiction, I would encourage you to know that there is hope, that there is freedom, there is a sober life waiting for you, and people who will lovingly help support you in that area. I know that while I went through my recovery journey, that there have been people who have been supporting me and encouraging me by donating to Adult and Teen Challenge, and I'm very grateful that they made it possible for me and others to have a new life.
We are Kevin and Connie Plett. We are dairy farmers. We milk cows. We've got a family of five kids, ages 7 to 14. Teen Challenge has been in our world for many years. We've often recommended people to go to Teen Challenge.
Whether it's our friends that are dealing with kids that are struggling, I'm just really thankful that there's already an established program that is effective and working, and God is using in great ways. There's so many wonderful testimonies coming out of this.
I find it interesting, even last night, what happened to me when I was reading for the day was Matthew 6. It says, when you give, do not do it in front of others so that they'll see it. And we are with Adult and Teen Challenge today to talk about giving. It's like, how does this work together? God, like, what in the world are you trying to tell me here? And then early in the morning when I went for a walk, which was my prayer time, this thought came, oh, in that passage it talks of when you give, and saying when you give, meaning the assumption is you will give. And so God assumes that we will give. And then we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus, Holy Spirit, where do you want us to give? Adult and Teen Challenge is one of those that we're excited about giving towards. They point people to Jesus, and that's something we support. That's why we buy in. It's just a matter of discerning, God, where do you want us to give?
My name is AJ. I'm part of the development team here in Winnipeg. And I'm also a graduate of Adult Teen Challenge. So I walked into the doors 2008, and it changed my life in more ways than I can think of. It saved my life. So I'm really glad that there was a place like Adult Teen Challenge for me to come, and I'm really glad there's people out there that helped make it possible. Addictions right now is at an all-time high. You know, we've got anxiety and depression and all the things that come with being stuck in addiction. It really does need help, and that's what Adult and Teen Challenge does. When you become a monthly sponsor and come on board with us, you're supporting students like Tessa, stories like mine, and there's so many out there right now that really need help, and it's what we do here. So maybe you're listening and you're thinking, hey, how do I become a monthly sponsor? What does it look like? What do I get? Where does my support go? You'll get pictures and testimonies of the students that are in the program. Every 3 months you'll get an updated letter of what's happening, what's going on in the program. Monthly sponsors are super important for us. It's something that's consistent. You know, when COVID hit and we had to shut down many of our fundraising avenues, our thrift stores, fundraising events, the one thing that kept us going and that was consistent was monthly sponsors. So it gives you an idea of why it's so huge for us. So today I'm asking, would you consider being a part of our team and coming on board as a monthly sponsor?
Change lives, it's worth the investment. You better believe it.
When I got there, I knew this was my last chance. The people I met were genuine and open. They made me feel welcome. They made me feel worthy. So I committed to it 100%. I immersed myself in the Word. I asked questions, and I prayed. I gave my life to Jesus and asked for His forgiveness. And then, one morning as I lay awake in bed, I just woke up at 5:45. I noticed something was different. You know, I felt something different inside me. What I didn't realize until that very moment was that I was feeling something I never felt before in my life, and that was peace. At that point, I realized I didn't change inside. I was never going to be the person I thought of or I saw in the mirror every day before that. I'm a child of God. I sought God, and I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm so, so grateful. And I thank the Lord every morning when I wake. I've decided to let God lead my life, and it's totally changed. The Lord has restored things in my life that I thought were never gonna be resurrected. My family relationships are better than I could have ever imagined. And I'm excited to see where God's going to take me on this path. I made a lot of good friendships here at ACC with my brothers and with the staff. It's encouraging. It feels so good to encourage each other and watch the growth within. You know, you see it in the other person's eyes better than you do in your own. To be able to watch and grow, that it's a miracle, but it's also a blessing. I'm just going to leave with this scripture, Ephesians 2:10. We're God's masterpiece. He has created us and in Christ, so we can do the great things He planned for us long ago. Thanks for your time.
So, my name is Devin. I'm actually fairly new to the program. I just came in on February 1st. I have two children at home, and that is the main reason I'm here. I almost lost everything. I had, like Keith, I was successful for a long time. I thought I had everything together, as long as I could have those few drinks, which turned into many, many drinks, which turned into other things. And then, over the course of several years, I just started to spiral out of control. Started losing one thing after another, and all I had left was my children at the point to where I came in here. And to be honest, when I came in, I wasn't too confident. I was, but I wasn't. I reached out to the Lord before I came in a very, very low moment, and He gave me a sense of peace and a word of conviction and a determination. And, you know, I keep clinging to that, and that's why I'm still here, and I felt more peace in the last month than I have in 10 years.
Wow.
And it's given me hope. It's given me hope that my children will have a father who can teach them how to be young men when they get to be young men. And that was the biggest fear I had, is that I was going to be a terrible role model. And God is showing me how to be the man I need to be for my children. And that is the drive that is keeping me here. And it's gonna see me through. Every time I ask for a sign, He gives it to me every time. So, if you're struggling and you need help, just ask for it and you'll get it. So that's my testimony. And there we go.
Man, I love hearing those testimonies. I never get tired of that. Thank you so much for sharing, guys. You know how difficult it is to get up here in front of a room full of strangers and share some of your deepest, darkest, lowest moments. Great job. Let's give another hand for you. And Kevin, I've only known you a brief time, and it's been a pleasure. Same with you, Dalen. But Keith, we've known you for some time now. And I just want to say that it's been a pleasure watching what God is doing in your life. And we love you, Keith. Deborah and I talk about you quite a bit. Not because you're awesome, but because God is awesome. And you have surrendered your life to the Lord, and He has done a great work in you. And I can physically see the transformation in you, in your eyes, in your face, in your soul. I can see the transformation that God has done in your heart. And it is a privilege and honor to walk alongside you in your journey. And we pray for you regularly. We love you. But I want to encourage all three of you guys, and I want the rest of you guys to hear this. Write those names down. We got Keith, Dalen, and Devin. Write those names down and pray for these men. Because with just as much tenacity that they are trying to open their hearts and their minds and their souls to everything that God is doing in their life, the devil is out to get them. And I don't know where you're at with spiritual warfare. I'm not going to get too deep into it. But I'm telling you right now, there is a spiritual battle going over the souls of these men right now. And sadly, I would be a liar if I told you that everybody that comes through the program and completes or graduates stays the course. We have seen people fall away. We have seen death. We have seen leaders that have been clean for 5-6 years fall away. My friends, the battle is real. There is a spiritual battle over their souls. And so pray for these men. But all three of you guys, Devin, Dalen, Keith, all of you guys, keep doing it every single day. Don't ever feel like you've arrived. Every day, wake up and say, God, today I surrender my life to you. Today I open my heart and say, whatever you have for me, that's what I want. Because you have tasted the death, what the world offers, and you have tasted the Lord. And the Bible says, taste and see that he is good. And you have experienced the love of Jesus in such a way that's transforming your lives, different various stages. But keep doing that. Keep seeking the Lord. Thank you so much, by the way, for having us here this morning. We consider it an honor to have the pulpit and to share with you. We don't take that lightly. What I would like to do in our remaining time just briefly is I just want to share with you why I'm so excited about the ministry of Teen Challenge. And I want to talk about that from the vision that we have that I mentioned earlier. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to read from chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I see some of you have some iPhones out there. I'm trusting you on the Bible app. Maybe just take a look over at your neighbor if they're using an iPhone. Make sure they're not on some sort of game. Or actually, here, who still has a paper Bible? Just hold it up for me here. There's a whole bunch of them. Keep it held up here. Everyone else look around. These are the people that really love Jesus. They still got paper Bibles. They're not using an Apple device or, God forbid, an Android device to get the scripture. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And just to give you a recap of our vision, it's three things. You guys remember what it is? Three things. The first thing is to see addictions end. The second thing, new life begin. And the third thing, freedom for all through Jesus Christ. And I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start here at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16, it says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." You say, well, what does that mean? Well, what it's talking about here is a transformation that's taken place. A spiritual transformation that's taken place. And so yes, we are people of flesh. But we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. And again, Jesus being fully God and fully man, we regard him thus no longer. Now listen very closely to this. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and by the way, that phrase in Christ, when you read in the scripture and you see this phrase in Christ, Paul likes to use it a lot. And he says, in Christ. What that means is it's somebody who has surrendered their life to the Lordship of Jesus. It's somebody that acknowledges that Jesus is Lord, that he is King, that he is God, that he created all things, and he came to the earth, and he stood in your place, and he died on the cross in your place so that you could be forgiven. It's the greatest news you'll ever hear. We're going to come back to that in just a few moments. This is the gospel message. This is why it's called good news, by the way. It's what stirs my heart. In fact, I remember when I first was offered the job at Teen Challenge. I'd been a pastor for many years in my church. And I was offered the job for Teen Challenge, and I called our CEO, Dan Lehman, and said, I can't take the job. He goes, why? I said, well, first of all, the position's in Steinbeck, and I live in Winnipeg. Jeff's like, big deal, just do the drive, because he drives a lot. So that I could get past. I don't mind the driving. But then I said to him, here's the thing, I don't know anything about addictions. I don't know anything about heroin or cocaine or crystal meth. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know anything about addiction. All I know is how to tell people that Jesus loves them. And he said, great, then just do that here. And so since I've been with Teen Challenge, that's what I've been doing. Just any opportunity I can. And you guys, I mean, even just this morning, how many times have you heard me say, we love you, Jesus loves you? It's on the tip of my tongue. And here's why. If anyone is in Christ, in other words, they trust their lives to the Lordship of God, they trust in Him, they confess with their mouth, and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, He is a new creation. And Keith testified to that. You can't argue with someone's testimony. Keith testified to that. He says, I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm not the same guy with those same wrestlings. Now, yes, we still struggle, but he's a new creation. He doesn't strive now in his own strength from pride. He struggles now in a spiritual sense where, yes, there's still a battle. This isn't all, you know, you come to know Jesus and everything is puppy dogs, balloons, and cotton candy. That's not what it's about. In fact, let me just take a moment to say this. This breaks my heart. We have people in our program, a guy doing fantastic, gave his life to the Lord. 6 months into the program, he gets summoned to court, and he goes back to jail. I can't imagine what's going through his mind. Now, he has one of two ways to determine how he deals with this. He can either say, see, it doesn't work. God failed me. You all said my life would be amazing if I surrendered to God. And look what I did, and look what he did. Nothing. I'm back in prison. Or he could say, it is well with my soul. And we sung it this morning. We sung it this morning and we said, it is well with my soul. And in those lyrics, we said that I fixed my eyes on Jesus. So yeah, if you want to get caught up in fixing your eyes on your circumstances, and if you believe that God's goodness is based on your circumstances, and if it's all going well and life's great, He's good, but when you have hardships, He's not. My friends, you don't know God. Because God's goodness is not based on our circumstances. Whether we are in prison or we are free from prison, God is still good. He is still worthy of our praise. And what we need to do as believers is we lift our eyes off of our circumstances, lift them onto Jesus. And when we do that, we'll realize it is well. And one of the things I love about this church, look at this. Bam! Symbol of what Jesus did for you. Bam! Symbol of what Jesus did for you. This concept of Jesus standing in your place for the cross means that you are reconciled to God relationally. And so yes, you still go through hardships. This guy still went back to prison. But I'm believing in faith that he now has a foundation. And we've had people that have done that and they've come back into the program, back into our leadership program, because they were able to stay the course. So my friends, don't think that God's goodness is based on our circumstances. This is our challenge. We are a new creation. Listen closely. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. That's essentially where our vision comes from, to see addictions end. The old life is gone. It's passed. It's completely gone. The old has gone. Look at this. The new has come. We want to see new life begin. We want to see Keith realizing, I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God. There's something so beautiful about Keith's testimony. This is what God is doing. And I want to be a part of the work that God is doing. And so when I'm looking around at how God is moving in Teen Challenge, it stirs my heart to say, that's what I want to be a part of. I want my life to count for something. And so I want to be a part of this ministry because I'm seeing with my own eyes God transform lives. And that's why I'm so excited. And it's why I love to invite people to be a part of this ministry, however you do that. But to be a part of it is to partner with the Lord in this transformation that he is doing. Listen closely. Verse 18. All this. So again, this being the old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God. Which is why we say, and new life in Christ. Freedom for all through Jesus Christ. It's all from God. Again, take a look. It's all about Jesus, my friends. Take a look. It's all about Jesus. All this is from God. Listen closely. Who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Again, there's the greatest news you'll ever hear for the rest of your days. You should, if you do cross-stitching, you could put that on a throw pillow. There's some scriptures you don't see cross-stitched on a throw pillow, like the wages of sins. You don't see that at grandma's place, cross-stitched on a throw pillow, do you? But you could see this one. You could see this one, that we have been reconciled to Christ. Again, relationally, that is fantastic, because what that does is it tells me, and we read this in the scripture, that nothing can separate us from God's love. So this guy that went back to prison, prison can't separate him from the love of God. Nothing can. That's why it's so amazing, because when you have that foundation where you understand that you are loved, you are free, you are forgiven, you are reconciled to God, and none of that is dependent upon your circumstances, you become spiritually and emotionally invincible, because you can go to prison and you still say, God is good, it is well with my soul. Or you could be beaten up and lying in the street bleeding, and you could still say, it is well with my soul, God is good. Because his goodness doesn't flip-flop based on whether we are experiencing good, negative, or positive circumstances. He is good, period. That is the God I serve. Amen. I tell you, I'm excited about that, because I have ups and downs in my life, believe it or not. You're like, really, you're a pastor, you're always doing well. No, actually, no, I'm not always doing well. We all go through struggles. Now listen closely to this. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Now, here's the challenge I have for you. A few minutes left, and then I think Angie's going to come up and lead us in worship. But here's the challenge I have for you. So you say, well, yeah, I know Jesus. I'm good. I know God's good. Everything he's saying, amen, brother. Amen, brother. Okay, listen closely to this. This is the challenge. Not from me, from the Word of God. All this is from God, who gave through Christ, reconciled himself, and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. You have been given this ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Well, ministry, that's the work that you're doing. Okay, so now you got to do some work, all right? I want to be retired. I don't want to be working. Well, hold on. The Bible says, if you know Jesus, you are obligated, and I'll use that word in a strong way, you are obligated to this ministry of reconciliation. You say, what is that? It's to help people that don't know Jesus be reconciled to Jesus. Amen. This is the whole thing. It's the whole point of why we exist and what we do. I get in trouble for saying this all the time. I say, you know, Teen Challenge, it's not really an addictions recovery program. I'm like, what are we talking about? We totally are. Look at this. No. We're not. What we are is a discipleship program. We are going to introduce you to Jesus, if you don't know him, who is going to radically transform your life so that when you are beaten and in the gutter or back in jail, you still say, it is well with my soul because I have been reconciled to Jesus through the work on the cross, and nothing can take that away from me. That is my heart, to reconcile people to Jesus. And if you know Jesus, if you have the hope of Jesus in your heart, that's what you're obligated to do. You don't get to just sit at home and check out and watch Netflix for the rest of your life. No. You have this ministry of reconciliation. And our founder, David Wilkerson, back in the 50s, he had this conviction. He saw these guys on the front page being tried for murder, merely kids. And he said, I'm going to shut my TV off. In fact, I'm getting rid of it altogether. I'm going to pray. And he gave up his comfortable, cozy life. He left his wife, who was pregnant, and he went to New York, being his very life being threatened. And he did that because of this scripture. He did it because he had a desire to reconcile people to Jesus. And he saw these lost and broken children, if you will. Yes, they were teenagers, but they weren't babies, they were children. And he saw them lost and broken, and he was stirred by the great, tremendous love of God that he had in his life to say, I want to reconcile these guys to Jesus. And he did that, and again, many threats over his life. But he said, it doesn't matter. You can chop me up into 1,000 pieces. The famous line, Nicky Cruz talks about it. I've had the privilege to see Nicky Cruz preach. He was the first convert, if you will, from Dave Wilkerson's ministry, the first evangelist. And he said, I love you. And he said, I'm going to stab you. I'm going to cut you up. He said, you can cut me up into 1,000 pieces, and every piece of me will call out, Jesus loves you. He had this conviction to reconcile people to Jesus. That's my passion. That's what I love about the ministry of Teen Challenge. And I want to encourage you, if you know Jesus and you have this hope in your heart, my challenge to you this morning is, who are you reconciling to Jesus? Maybe it's the guy at the gas pump. It doesn't have to be weird. You know, you go meet Dave at the gas pump. He's pumping your gas. And you say, how's your day going, Dave? And he goes, you know what? I'd ask you to be honest. Crappy day. You say that in church? Sucky day. Let's say that. You say that in church? Rubbish day. Let's use that. Whatever safe word I can use. He goes, I'm having a terrible day. And you say, oh, no problem. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb, brother? He's like, okay, I'm good. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You don't have to say that. You know, you can just say, hey, I don't know if you believe in God, but I do. Do you mind if I just quickly pray for you? 10 seconds? Sure, whatever. And you just pray, and in that moment the Holy Spirit moves and touches his heart in a way that starts this journey of his. That's how you reconcile people to Jesus. You see, this is the beautiful thing about the power of God, the Holy Spirit being alive and moving in our lives. We don't have to take on the responsibility to do anything. We just need to be obedient. So when we're praying for someone for healing, we're obedient. God does the work. God heals. God moves. And if God chooses not to, so be it. But we don't have to say, oh, I'm not going to do it in case it doesn't work. It's not about it working. It's about us being obedient. And wouldn't it be great if you were known as someone that was always willing to tell someone about the hope of Jesus? That's how I want to be known. And I'm not overtly out there, but any opportunity I have, I want to preach and I want to talk about the love of God and how amazing it is. So my challenge to you this morning, and Angie, you can come on up just as we're closing here. I just want to pray for us in closing, but you can get in position there. My challenge to you this morning is, who are you reconciling to Jesus? Because if you have the hope of Jesus in your heart, you are obligated to this ministry of reconciliation. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are a good and mighty God. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you move in our lives, that you are active, that you speak to us, that we can sense your presence. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us here about people in our lives who are needing to hear the hope of Jesus. And God, I pray you would give us wisdom and discernment, that we wouldn't do that in a weird way that would cause concern. But Holy Spirit, that you would go before us and you would create a divine moment that we would be able to say, hey, can I pray? And the testimony that comes back is that person said, what I prayed this morning was, God, if you're real, would you tell someone to pray for me today? And then you're there at the gas station saying, can I pray for you? And bam, right in that moment, God, we've been used by you to reconcile people to your great love. God, I pray that would stir in all of our hearts, that we would be motivated and with eyes open for the lost and broken and hurting people in our world, that we would look for opportunity to tell them that they are loved, that they are valuable, that they are precious, because they have been made in the image of you, Lord God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us to do this. I thank you for these incredible men who, in humility, are standing here to give their testimony and coming here today with Keith and Devin and Dalen. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing in their lives, and we pray that they would continue this transformation, and every day they would continue to wake up with a hunger for you, and you would continue to transform their lives in the days to come. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's giving and supporting, and for those that are contemplating doing so. We thank you, Lord, for their generosity, and we give you, God, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in this place. We love you, and we glorify you this day. In your mighty and precious name. You guys agree? Let's hear an amen.
Amen. Amen.